Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. We normally do open line on Tuesdays. We call them our studio spotlights, but I will be attending the EWTN radio conference in Irondale, Alabama this week, and because of that, we're pushing the open line to today. So we want to hear from you. In our first segment, we will be speaking, first of all, with Doug Keck, who is the president and COO of EWTN. And we're going to be talking about developing a greater reverence and respect for the body and blood of the Lord. Many prominent Catholics, leaders especially, have been accused of weaponizing the Eucharist. The truth is, Paul calls us to discern the body and the blood. And so Cardinal Burke has published a book entitled Respecting the Body and Blood of the Lord, and Doug Keck and I will be speaking about why we need to reclaim a greater Eucharistic reverence in our society, in a world that has completely done away with the divine and is sacrileging the religious. The truth is, we need to reclaim a sense of the sacred, especially when it comes to the Holy Eucharist and the sacraments. And then we move on from there to talk about you and your own faith journey. What obstacles did you have before becoming Catholic? And now that you are Catholic, how did you overcome them? I'm really more of a convert than I am a revert. Even though I was brought up in the Catholic faith, I barely had any good catechesis, and I left the church the first opportunity I got. I couldn't begin to tell you anything about the Catholic faith, but I did have my sacraments. And so returning to the church was a long and arduous journey that involved a lot of study, but my coming home really involved one good sacrament of reconciliation. The journey, however, was spiritual and intellectual, and I had obstacles, the papacy, Mary, and I'm going to be talking about some of these obstacles. And we want to hear from you. What were some of the obstacles that stopped you from becoming Catholic, and how did you overcome them? Because your stories are going to greatly benefit other listeners who might be on the same stage of the journey with you. So we want to invite you to call in later, after the first segment. That number is 877-573-7825. So start thinking about this. For now, the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, October 14th. It's the feast of St. Pope Callistus I. Today's news brought to you by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. Pope Francis is calling war an illusion. The Pope continued his call for peace in the Middle East and gave special attention to UN peacekeepers in the region. The Pontiff said war will never bring peace or security and called war a defeat for everyone. The impacts of Hurricanes Milton and Helene are still being felt in the southeast. In western North Carolina, Asheville restaurant owner Brian King is exasperated.
I mean, you look around, the cleanup is going to take months, if not years.
Crews are still working to restore power to some areas hit by Helene after the storm initially left over a million customers in the dark. Meanwhile, President Biden surveyed damage in Florida and announced $600 million for projects to help the electric grid in areas affected by Helene and Milton. Officials are investigating after a New Jersey train conductor died and nearly two dozen passengers are injured in a train accident. Officials say it happened around 6 a.m. when a train traveling from Trenton hit a tree that fell onto the tracks. Investigators say there were 42 people on board, 23 of them suffered non-life-threatening injuries. You're just over 3 weeks until Election Day as the candidates hit the campaign trail. Former President Trump is set to hold a town hall outside of Philadelphia, while Vice President Harris will also be in Pennsylvania and holding a rally in Erie. A new poll shows the race for the White House is deadlocked. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris each receiving 48% support from likely voters in the latest NBC News poll released Sunday. Pollsters noticed a shift away from the post-debate momentum for Harris, with the contest becoming a dead heat. The poll found 4% saying they were undecided or wouldn't vote for either candidate. From your Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Mark Speter. Are prominent Catholics weaponizing the Eucharist? In his new book, Cardinal Raymond Burke explores what it means to respect the body and blood of the Lord. And it was featured in Doug Keck's EWTN bookmark, and Doug joins us. Doug is the president and COO of EWTN, joins us every Monday. Doug, how are you doing?
Great, and great to be with you, and great to be seeing you shortly when you come down for our radio conference this week.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And also, happy Columbus Day.
Right, absolutely.
So, I love that we're talking about this, Doug, because, like Cardinal Burke, I know you share this concern as well, that many of us have begun treating the Eucharist with a general sense of irreverence, and we don't, as Paul says, discern the body when we come to approach him.
Absolutely. You know, I had the pleasure of speaking with the Cardinal a couple of weeks ago, back in August, actually, I think now, time flies. And the two books, really, the first book was on Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's a wonderful picture book. Table book of the shrine that he built up in La Crosse, a mm-hmm. wonderful, wonderful shrine that I remember way back when he first came to meet with us and talk to about that project. So that was exciting. And at the same time, I noticed he had a smaller book called Respecting the Body and Blood of the Lord. And we decided to also include that in the interview, because obviously his love of the Eucharist, his respect for our Lord in the Eucharist, is so closely aligned. And I remember the days when Mother Angelica and he were both meeting at EWTN, you know, simpatico in the sense of that concern for the reverence of the Eucharist. And so it was a great opportunity to talk to him about that particular little book, but also even the larger sense of the shrine itself being very Eucharistic-oriented mm-hmm. and in people's lives and something that's a beauty that reminds people of this great gift we're given.
Right. And the great gift is truly it, because there's a reason why we have these wonderful shrines. There's a reason why culture was built around the Eucharist, because it truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Son of God himself. And gosh, Doug, it's almost as if we miss the forest for the trees, and sometimes we can kneel before this great sacrament and not realize that.
Well, I was thinking of what you said about being somebody who grew up as a Catholic, wasn't really catechized. But even for many of us who were catechized in the post-60s kind of environment, you know, we took things for granted. And one of the things we take for granted is the Eucharist. It's kind of like it's there. Oh, yes, that's okay. Mm. And so early on, it was kind of taking it for granted. Later on, I think there was a push, and we talk about it in the interview a little bit. I talked with the Cardinal for his thoughts on it as well. He tended to concur that, you know, in an attempt to emphasize certain other aspects of the Mass and our faith, you know, instead of saying, well, gee, we want to emphasize these two, we came up with this idea that, well, we have to kind of de-emphasize the Eucharist so we can emphasize the scriptures, or right, you know, right. We have to emphasize more of our social justice and good works. So, you know, the devotion to the saints and some of the other devotional things, we have to push those down, which was a very bad mistake, because yeah. basically what you did was make all of it seem like it wasn't really that important. And you know, as Mother Teresa would say, you know, the idea the Eucharist is the power. You know, if you don't have the power from our Lord, you'll just be another burnt-out social worker. And we're seeing right. that in many of the mainstream Protestant churches. A series of programs we've developed called Wolves in the Fold talks about some of that and the impact of that. And that's why it's so important for Catholics. Wherever there's life, you see Eucharistic adoration. You saw the Eucharistic Conference, certainly Mother Angelica, you know, Eucharistic adoration. The places where you're seeing the revival of the priesthood and the seminaries filling up, always is an outgrowth of Eucharistic adoration and a recognition of the importance of the Eucharist. And it's like you said, you know, nobody's trying to make it a reward, you know, for just being a
right,
good person.
Right.
But you know, when you go to see the Lord, you have to go to see him dressed in the right garments. He said that himself. You know, about you know, you're not dressed for the affair, you can't stay, or for the the young maidens who didn't bother getting the right amount of oil. He didn't tell the other young women, give them half of yours.
That's right.
He said, no, those who are prepared will be welcome. Those who aren't prepared and should have known better will not be welcome. Whether we like it or not, that's actually what the gospel says.
Right. And so when you take a look at adages that are making in the public sphere right now in the name of Christian niceties, words like, okay, so like this phrase came from our Holy Father, and I know he meant well when he said it, that the Eucharist is not a it's not a prize for the righteous, but it's a medicine for sinners. I hear you, but at the same time, you hear people say, like, well, the Lord would never deny you a seat at his table. But the scriptures do demonstrate that there needs to be some kind of a dispositional worthiness on our part to discern as to whether we can receive the body of Christ. That's directly from the lips of Jesus.
Absolutely. And that was indicated, and obviously St. Paul said that.
Yep.
And just with that idea, like you said, is that we shouldn't be presumptuous. There used to be a sin of presumption that Catholics were accused of because, you know, we're the church Jesus founded and we're being presumptuous in our belief system, etc. There's also a presumptuousness of people who just presume on the Lord's mercy and think that, well, whatever I do is okay and the Lord is all merciful. So if that's the case, then what does it really matter? Then why did our Lord go through all the things he went through?
Right.
And if all he had to do was die on the cross and be resurrected, basically, for us to all be saved, and we didn't really have to worry about anything after that, why did he set up the church? Why did he have the apostles? Why did he ask people to go to all ends of the earth preaching the gospel if it didn't matter in some way to your eternal life?
Yep. And if it's just a symbol, why are we even bothering? The fact is, we know that it's not. And that's why Paul's language, like you mentioned, so explicit. There is a necessity on our part to bring ourselves to the level of a life of grace in Christ, sacramentally, to be sure, so that we can approach in a manner that's worthy of coming in union with God in communion.
And as you indicated, it's not the church condemning you. It's you bringing condemnation on yourself,
right?
Because you're receiving unworthily. And one of the things Cardinal Burke said in the interview was talking about in his book about respecting the Eucharist is the idea in politics, you know, you were talking about using it as a weapon per se. But he was talking about how the fact that a priest had said to him years ago was the church thinking of, you know, legalizing abortion or saying euthanasia, these things were okay. And he said, no, never. That could never happen. And he said, why would you even ask that? He said, well, because here in Washington, I see so many quote-unquote faithful Catholics who have no trouble voting for it. You know, something's missing in the message that we're giving people. This idea that one can go to church and do all the right things, you know, so to speak, but then go out and live in the regular world like it has no impact on your life. It used to be used against the kind of the more conservative Catholics to say, well, you're all about following the rules, but you're not doing anything for poor people. But we have the reverse in many cases now where people are very social justice oriented on different things. But there's this, as Mother used to talk about, this kind of false compassion. This misguided compassion, where in being nice, as you indicated, we're failing to tell people the truth. And the reality is, we are called like parents with their children. It's easier to let your kids do whatever they want. It takes more guts and it's harder to tell them no, even though they will be unhappy. But that's your responsibility, because your job is to train them.
Yeah.
It's the church's job to tell people, I'm sorry that you'll be upset, but it's my obligation to tell you there is something called the truth. It's Jesus Christ, and this is what he told us, and that's why we're Christians. If you don't want to be a Christian or you don't believe this, that's up to you. That's why the Lord gave you free will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Doug, I want to say thank you for making the time to speak with us. I could go on this, and I really appreciate our conversation.
Well, I look forward to us talking in person when I see you at the radio conference.
Yep, see you soon. God bless you.
Thanks. Safe trip.
My guest, Doug Keck, President and COO of EWTN. We are taking your calls. We want to hear from you. 877-573-7825. What obstacles did you have into becoming Catholic, and how did you overcome them? Or if you stepped away from the church and returned, what brought you back? 877-573-7825. Lines are open. We want to hear from you. I'm Marcus Peter. Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce PayHub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Miss the beginning? Can't catch the end? Or you want to hear it again? All Ave Maria Radio programs can be heard at AveMariaRadio.net or on the Ave Maria Radio app. Then share it with your friends to help spread the Catholic faith. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. It's open line. We are taking your calls. We want to hear from you. One of the topics that I constantly talk about is, and it's no secret to anyone who knows me, I'm a revert convert to the Catholic faith. And my journey into the Catholic faith was arduous. It took some time and quite a significant amount of study. And I'd love to hear from you. I want to hear from you. 877-573-7825. I want to hear about your journey back into the Catholic Church. I want to hear about your stories. You had obstacles that stopped you from becoming Catholic, and now you are. You've come home into the Church, and you have a story to share. And I want to hear what that obstacle was and how you overcame it. Again, 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. What obstacle did you have to becoming Catholic, and how did you overcome it? Now, the reason why I'm asking you to share this is because quite possibly in the 16 years I've been involved in the work of evangelization, the one talk I've given more than any other talk is my conversion story. And you would think that after 16 years, people would stop asking. And maybe it's a terrible joke to make, because for some reason, knowing how Jesus worked in my life resonates with people. And the reason why is because I've come to discover it's because Jesus is working uniquely in the lives of other people. So when you call in today and you share, know that your story will resonate. It will undoubtedly resonate with someone who's listening on Ave Maria Radio and the EWTN network. So 877-573-7825. And I'll start with my first obstacle. My first obstacle really was believing in the papacy at all. And so I tackled Petrine primacy with gusto. And my effort was to disprove the papacy more than anything. And I'll tell you about that a little later if we have the time, because we have Natalie from Columbus listening in. She lives in Nebraska now, and she's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, our friends up in Nebraska. Natalie, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hey, Natalie. Great to hear from you.
I was in my 20s, and I kind of stopped going to church, and I was out in Seattle, and I had several people who God, I know, brought into my life to kind of bring me back to the faith. I had a charismatic Catholic, people who went to different churches. So I would go to church with them who were very, very, they were young, but they were very faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing a working down in at Virginia Mason, and there's a church right there. So I started at noon going to Mass again. So that's just kind of how I got back. Anyway,
what was the obstacle that you had to overcome? If you could point to, say, the biggest thing that was stopping you from becoming Catholic. And by the way, that number again, 877-573-7825. So what was it, Ashley?
I was actually Catholic already, mm-hmm. born, you know, cradle Catholic. Just walked away, just questioning a lot of things, you know, not feeling, I don't know, I was just drawn away by, probably by Satan and, you know, all the things I wanted to do that weren't really following my faith, you know. But every Sunday, then I kind of felt a little depressed, like I was missing something in my life, and took God to throw those people in my face day after day to get, you know, my faith back. But it worked.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm glad you called, Natalie. Thank you for sharing the story.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We do have some open lines. And the question is, what's your biggest obstacle to becoming Catholic, and how did you overcome it? So you had something that was, or some things that were stopping you from becoming Catholic, and you've overcome it. And we want to hear your story. When you came back, how did you overcome the obstacle to becoming Catholic? Like I mentioned earlier, before that call with Natalie, my first obstacle, and it was a big one as a Protestant, it was the papacy. And particularly, I didn't care for the notion of the papacy, but even that notion of Peter as being prime amongst the apostles. And I remember studying this for the first time and encountering Matthew chapter 16. And first of all, even in the scriptures, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, Peter is mentioned 155 times. The rest of the apostles combined are only mentioned 130 times. And as a Protestant, as a preacher especially, they train you to look out for these particular things, because the scriptures are trying to tell you something when that happens. And so noticing that made me pay attention to Peter. And I can share this more with you if we have time, but I'd like to go to Michael in upstate New York. Michael, what was your obstacle to becoming Catholic, and how did you overcome it?
Well, this show is about reversion, mostly, apparently. I just want to say that I was a very staunch Catholic, you know, altar boy and all that. My mother, you know, Irish Catholics, and raised to be cultural Catholics as well as but a fierceness of faith, I think, and belief, because, you know, my mother still knew all the old lore, and for her, you know, the other worlds and the afterlife and all that was right within touch and distance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could just reach out and touch the power that was there. And she very much believed in signs and wonders. But when I went to college, she sent me off to the Jesuits. You know, I guess you know the Jesuits are rather
rational.
No, I don't want to say too prideful or anything. Don't want to say anything too much against the Jesuits.
Right, but I understand. Let's go with cerebral.
So the point is, you know, we're very much taught the rational proofs and things mm-hmm. like this, and that it was our duty to build the foundation for our faith. But in my case, it just worked the other way because in the end, I was determined to not base my whole life on anything that was, you know, just had been passed down to me by, you know, whatever.
Right, I get what you mean.
And any, you know, irrational beliefs. And, you know, I certainly read the Bible from cover to cover, but it was still not proved to me. And so I did not, I still actually went to church still for years every week just to make sure that I wasn't one of those people who would fail to go to church just because they were lazy.
Right. Michael, so we're running out of time. Just very quickly, so the obstacle you had to overcome was irrationality, I can see. So how did you overcome it?
I started hiking and doing long-distance hiking, and it was really because of history. History was my field, and so I was doing the Pilgrimage of St. James in Europe, and plus I've walked across America from Florida to Canada a few times. And I just want to say that... the Lord is there. The Lord is out there. And,
got it.
You know, it turns out if you, as the saying goes, knock and the door, you know, it will be answered.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. I greatly appreciate hearing from you. So that was Michael from New York, and he had to overcome the irrationality of the faith, and walking pilgrimages helped him. Again, we are asking what obstacles you have to the faith or had, and how did you overcome them? 877-573-7825. Call now. We still have a few open lines. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu. We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize His presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to Him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see You. I want to recognize You. I cannot live without You. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
The church teaches us that every Catholic family is meant to be a domestic church. That sounds nice, but what does it really mean? Well, a domestic church is a household of people united to each other and God through the sacramental life of the church and committed to living out Christ's sacrificial love in their relationships with each other and the world. The degree to which your family already lives this vision is the degree to which your family already is a domestic church. And the degree to which your family struggles to live that vision is the degree to which your family is called to become a domestic church. Every Catholic household is a domestic church that's called to witness to the already present, but not yet fulfilled, kingdom of God. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are taking your calls. It's open line today. 877-573-7825. And we want to hear from you. What obstacles did you have in coming into the faith in Catholicism? And how did you overcome it? If you know my story, you know that I had numerous obstacles. And by God's grace, I overcame them. And I've shared them in passing numerous times. 877-573-7825. How did you overcome your obstacles to the Catholic faith? We're going to Casey in South Carolina. Casey, thank you for your call. Great to hear from you.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, I hear you just fine.
Hey, I'm kind of currently going through an obstacle, so I was hoping I could ask about it. I've never really talked to anyone about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the short version, I'm from South Carolina. I'm currently, a member of a very loving but very anti-Catholic, Southern Baptist church, and just becoming pretty convicted about wanting to join the church myself, wanting to I believe in the Catholic Church. I believe in the Eucharist, all the fundamental things that make me feel like, wow, I really think I need to become Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I care about all these people, but I have not really broached the subject with them, and I'm not really sure how. It's kind of been bringing me some anxiety because I don't really know anyone in this position in real life. I don't even really know anyone at the church that I've been going to at Mass. I've only been going for a little bit while, so never really talked to anyone about it. I wonder if I could ask you about it.
Sure thing. And funnily enough, you and I were. I was where you are. I was just about to become going to seminary to become a pastor, really, and. That's when this whole thing took hold of me, and I became Catholic and obviously didn't go to seminary. The first thing I'd say is, given your unique circumstance, I'd recommend... I knew Catholics because I had grown up around Catholics, so I knew Catholics. So I would greatly suggest getting to know the pastor of the church that you're attending, make an appointment to talk to him about your journey. And secondly, there is this program called OCIA, which is Ordinariate of Christian Initiation for Adults. And they essentially welcome people into the church. It's a program that inducts you, welcomes you, and immerses you in the life of the church. So you're going to build community very fast. You're going to build friendships very fast. I'd greatly recommend starting there on the Catholic side. On the Protestant side, I was with the Assemblies of God, and we were trained. My pastor, my friends, my brothers, I called them, we were very, very vehemently anti-Catholic. So when I left the church, I tried to have these conversations with them, but they all, unfortunately, they cut me off because they said I went and poped. That's what was said about me. Marcus went and poped. And so I haven't spoken with them since. We're Facebook friends. I've reached out numerous times, and they don't want to converse with me. And I think it's in the interest of the beliefs that they have. The Assemblies of God teaches that Catholicism is pagan and idolatrous. So I continue to love them. Now, the third phase to this is when I was converting, my family was lukewarm Catholic themselves, and I spent about 2 years essentially evangelizing each and every one of them into the faith, and I was relentless about it. I tried to make sure they understood I was doing it because I loved them, and so my immediate family, all my siblings, in some way or another, gave their lives to Christ in the Catholic Church, and they all became evangelists and preachers in their own way. So all of this is very short. It is a very short way of saying, keep the conversation going, be as loving as possible. Pick up Steve Ray's Crossing the Tiber. That's a great resource to know how he handled this as well. Write letters to the people you love if they don't want to have conversations with you. But that's as far as I can share right now because I do have to move on to other calls. But Casey, if you'd like, just write me an email and we can keep in touch from that. And God bless you on your journey.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're going to Cody in Spokane, Washington. And that number is 877-573-7825. We want to hear what obstacles did you have coming into the church and how did you overcome them? How did you overcome your obstacles to becoming Catholic? 877-573-7825. Open lines now. I want to hear from you. Cody, what obstacle did you have?
Hi. Well, I heard you just mention that Assemblies of God... Mm-hmm. were taught that paganism and idolatrous were what was taught to of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the church that I was raised in, and that's what I was taught. And so that's the biggest obstacle that kept me from the Catholic Church. And I've been baptized Catholic for a while now, but that was the biggest obstacle. And what helped me to get over that obstacle was just, it was really kind of free thought, because what I was going through at the home environment, you know, away from the church, and how I saw and observed others in the church, I had so many questions. It's like, first of all, every time I go to church, it's nothing but I feel a bunch of anger, you know, and and hatred in there. I felt it, and it was this, as if there was like a method. The church was a method in order to just do the right thing. It was a simplistic method.
Right, right.
And I remember how I was being treated in the home was horrible, for lack of many words. And so I remember thinking in my darkest moments, like, I don't think that you're right. You know, and that's also taught in the church that I was raised in, that you're not supposed to even ask questions. You're not supposed to question
yep.
God and anything.
Yep.
And it was to the point, it got to such a head that I was like, you know, I don't really feel the key. I felt so low at one point. I remember asking as a child a question to an adult in the church that I care for and still care for very much. I said, you know, isn't hell, it can't be that bad, because your body would just disintegrate, really, or it would burn away, or whatever I used at the time, in less than a couple of seconds or so, right? And the response I got back was a mixture of fear and anger, and I was yelled at.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a child, it was miscommunications, but if I was an adult and a kid asked me that as young as I was, and it was a very much not a question to provoke anger or anything like that, it was I felt so low. I felt so
unheard and
bad, and that I had no chance. I figured I'm going to hell. So I better start. That's when I started planning for the worst and preparing for the worst, because that's where I started to lose hope. And here we are in this church where you're supposed to be preaching about faith and hope and love, and that's what God is. And it was just, it started to make me confused.
Well, Cody, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I'm so sorry to cut you off. We do have to move on. I'm going to try to take one more call. But I want to say thank you for your call. I hear you. And you overcame that belief that Catholics were pagan idolaters. And again, you know, I greatly encourage, reach out to me, because you and I are kindred spirits, and I'd love to hear from you and to see how things are going, to hear greater details. We want to move on to Dennis in Iowa. Dennis, very, very quickly, we don't have a lot of time, but what was the obstacle and how did you overcome it?
Well, I'd say Mary was the obstacle that came to me, but I was a born Catholic, lived it all my life, and I probably looked like a good Catholic, but mm-hmm. I really wasn't. And just had a reawakening of my Catholic faith, and it actually came to me because I started volunteering at a pregnancy center and just kind of looking at the principles of life and all of that. But even after that quote-unquote reawakening, going back to daily mass, things like that, I still had this, I had, had this lapse about Mary and wanted her, I wanted to see that, how she connected more closely to my faith,
right,
and just tie that in, and I was having trouble with that. And it, this went on for a few years, and then one Sunday was the gospel of the wedding feast at Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And when the words came from Mary to Jesus to take care of the wedding feast,
right,
with the wine, and she, and she told the porter, do whatever he says.
Right. Dennis, I'm so sorry. We are out of time in this segment. We are still taking all of your calls on the other side of the break. What? How did you overcome your obstacles to becoming Catholic? 877-573-7825. I'm Marcus Peter.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I must tell you that from what I observe from very young people, all of these blasphemers, all of these mockers are in for a tough time. Because the devil bites his own tail. And I find among young people a growing reverence and longing for God. I find a decline in the cynicism and skepticism around, because it had to destroy itself. No one can live on being an enemy of God. It's too crazy. It's too absurd. It's too dark. It's too bleak. God is beautiful. God is holy. Why in the world mock God?
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
What is the most daunting petition in the Lord's Prayer? The Catholic Catechism says it is when we ask God our Father to forgive our sins as we forgive others, meaning if we do not forgive those who have sinned against us, we don't expect the Father to forgive us. God's outpouring of mercy cannot penetrate our hearts as long as we have not forgiven those who have trespassed against us. This is sobering. The Catechism says there has to be a vital participation coming from the depths of the heart in the holiness and the mercy and the love of God. Only the Holy Spirit can make our mind the same as the mind of Jesus Christ, who could forgive even those who crucified him. The heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit can turn injury into compassion, purifying the memory so as to transform the hurt into intercession. Forgiveness bears witness to the world that love is stronger than hate. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are taking your calls. What obstacles did you overcome to become Catholic? You had some obstacles to becoming Catholic. You overcame them. We want to hear from you. 877-573-7825. We have a few lines open, and we really want to hear from you. Remember, your stories are beneficial to all of our listeners. 877-573-7825. What obstacles did you overcome to become Catholic? We're going to David in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. David, what obstacle did you overcome to become Catholic?
Yeah, thanks. Good to hear from you. Three issues. Abused by nuns physically. They were like Mike Tyson. They brutalized me. Second was the sex abuse by the clergy.
Mm-hmm. When that scandal broke out.
Third, what?
When that scandal broke out, yeah. I understand, yeah.
Yeah. You've never been hit till you've been hit by a nun.
And what was the third thing?
Pope Francis and his New World Order. He is out of control.
Well, thank you so much, David, for calling and sharing some of your concerns. So, I just want to be clear here. Pope Francis is not establishing a new world order. And in fact, that's one of those things I can do a commentary on sometime in the future to talk about what a new world order is and what Pope Francis's vision actually is. But I do want to address this, that innumerable people, some people I personally know as well, have been abused by Catholics, especially Catholics in positions of authority. And unfortunately, that has resulted in a negative stigma on the church as a whole. And to all of you who have experienced that, from the depths of my heart, I know I'm not a member of the clergy or any form of authority in the church, really, other than just being an evangelist. But from the depths of my heart, know that the church, first of all, I want to say I'm really sorry you went through that, but also know that the church is a compassionate mother because she is the bride of Christ, her bridegroom, who is love itself. And he wills your healing. He wants to bring you into that embrace of wholeness. And you don't have to continue to be plagued by the hurts of the past. And know that even the church has provided resources to help many of us move through that. I'd like to move on to the next call. Bill, listening in Lincoln, Nebraska, Spirit Catholic Radio again. Bill, what obstacle did you overcome to become Catholic?
Hello?
Bill? Yeah?
Yeah.
Hello there.
This is Bill. Hi, how are you, Marcus?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for calling. What obstacle did you overcome to become a Catholic?
Well, I grew up in a middle-income family, and my dad was an alcoholic, and I kind of went down the same road. I got into alcohol first, and then sophomore year of high school, I got into drugs. And that was the later 70s, and it lasted till about the mid-80s. And then my sister invited me to a guitar group down at church, and I reluctantly went one night.
Mm-hmm.
And after the practice was over, then the leader of the group witnessed to me, and I went home, accepted Christ that night, and turned my life around. And I've been active in the church ever since, and my wife and I have six kids and our 12th grandchild on the way, so
wow.
God is good.
Oh, Bill, what a story. I'm so glad you called. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Marcus.
Thank you. God bless you. So again, your stories matter, and they touch all of our lives, including me. I want to thank all of you who've been calling in. 877-573-7825. What obstacle did you overcome to become Catholic? 877-573-7825. We still have some open lines. We're going to Melissa. Melissa, what obstacle did you overcome to become Catholic?
So I was raised Catholic by my family, and my parents got divorced. And before my confirmation occurred, that shift kind of left my mom kind of left the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
She had married into the Catholic faith, and then when that happened, she just, you know, it wasn't that she didn't have faith, and she actually converted back herself. Later years in her life, after my husband converted, but I married a Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
And his grandfather was a Methodist minister, and he wanted to get married in the Methodist church, and they seemed to have a stronger faith than I did at that time, and I was like, whatever you guys want, we'll do it. That's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my husband got married in the local Methodist church, and his family was super happy about that. And then we moved away to Colorado and went to an evangelical church. And my husband just kind of never really had a really strong faith at all. We moved back to Columbus, and we're like supposed to go to the Methodist church down the street. And my kids, whenever I traveled home during the summer, my family went to the Catholic church. So that's where we went.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids were like, let's go to the Catholic church. And I was like, that sounds fantastic. Let's do that. And my husband's like, since when are we Catholic? And so he went to the Methodist church by himself, and we went to the Catholic church, and the kids were like in love with it. They were like, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to be. It felt very alive and vibrant. And we came home, and they told Dad, I didn't say anything. They told Dad what we were going to do. And he's like, okay, I'll try this out. And we went to an RCIA at that time. It was
mm-hmm,
an RCIA.
Yep.
And this gentleman named Bill Adams was sitting across from him. My husband makes a commitment. He sticks with it. I've been married for 30 years. He sat down at this RCIA meeting and was talking to this guy. My husband's in aviation. He was in aviation, just happened to be the right person. And he's talking to Steve about coming to this RCIA program. And my husband signs on the dotted line. And then they start telling us about it, and he's like, it's 9 months. And my husband's eyes just looked at me like daggers. He was just like, oh my gosh, what have I signed up for? But as we went through that 9-month period, he had such a conversion of heart that he has been teaching OCIA for like the last 4 years.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Maybe longer.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for sharing that. That's such a powerful story. That was Melissa. And honestly, I've seen a tremendous amount of conversions happen because of the RCIA program. And it's been such an instrumental tool in aiding people coming into the church. We're going to Don in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Don, what obstacle did you overcome to become Catholic?
Hey, Marcus. So at the time I was becoming Catholic, which was just about 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
As a result of my son, who's a scholar, reaching out to me, and I knew I had to listen when my son reached out to me. I was already in, you know, a fairly troubled marriage,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. As a Protestant, I had been remarried. I was in a second marriage. But when I started heading down the road of becoming Catholic, that really complicated things even further,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure if it put the final nail in the coffin of that marriage, but I think it played a heavy role and ended up losing my second marriage as I headed down that road to becoming a Catholic. So again, not sure if it was the final deal, but it certainly didn't help becoming Catholic, but I knew that I couldn't go back. I knew what I knew, and I couldn't unknow what I knew.
Right. And what, if I could ask you, of all the truths that won you over, what's probably the strongest one that drew you?
Say that one more time. I apologize.
Of all the doctrines and the truths that you came to discover about the church, which one was the one that won you over?
Well, I really appreciated the Eucharist.
Mm.
You know, as a Protestant, I had some of my own concerns about things that just instinctively didn't feel right to me. The Eucharist just turned something that was wonderful into something that was amazingly beautiful and glorious. You know, as well, so it just made sense to me. I had to really come to the realization that for 1,500 years pre-Reformation, there was a church, and I just didn't know the church history.
Yep.
And once I started looking at it, it was like, oh my gosh, I never really thought about these things. And for 1,500 years before the Reformation, there was a church, and it was the Catholic Church. And I'm so grateful that my son Joshua brought that to my attention.
I'm so glad that you called, Don. Thank you so much for your call. We're moving on to Ryan in Peoria, Illinois. Ryan.
Hello?
Hey, Ryan. Yeah, what obstacle did you overcome to becoming Catholic? And we got to be really quick here. We're running out of time.
Yes. So my children, you know, we tried to raise our children at Protestant churches, and I was raised Methodist, and I tried to, you know, confer that knowledge and pass that history and a tradition along, and the support really just wasn't there in the churches that we're visiting. And from my experience alone, and all three of my children saying that they were atheists into their early adulthood, and then coming to me, and then converting, you know, and I can only, you know, credit our Lord and Holy Spirit for converting their hearts. And you know, then I had to make a conscious decision. You know, then do I say yes, like Mary did? And that was the decision I made.
Well, Ryan, welcome home, and thank you. Thank you for saying yes, and thank you for your call. These witnesses are powerful. As we round off this hour, I want to say thank you to all of you who called. I know that your stories are a way in which we witness to the blood of Christ, and we conquer the world through the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. And love for life ought not to deter us from death and witness. Know that the journey in the pursuit of truth always culminates in the door of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So don't be afraid to pursue truth. Don't be afraid to challenge your loved ones, your friends who are pursuing truth to go down that path. Keep asking questions, and inevitably you'll find yourself in the embrace of Christ in His one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Until tomorrow for Ave Maria in the afternoon, I'm Marcus Peter.